Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Networks.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 30th of March, 2022, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Good morning, Bahamas. How you doing? It is another Wednesday. I have a guest joining us in studio today to continue a conversation that we've been having over the month of March. But before we get into that segment of the show, I've got to say happy birthday and happy belated birthday to a whole bunch of people. So I got to start by saying happy belated birthday to two men who've been very important in my life, very, very different reasons. First of all, happy belated birthday to Mr. Lester Cox from Connected with Lester Cox on the Guardian Radio platform. I hope that you had a wonderful wonderful day. I also got to say happy belated birthday to my nephew, Mr. McCarney Keegan Lambert. I just waited a few days. I know y'all young people don't like old heads, old people like me up in your business. I hope you had a wonderful, wonderful birthday, my nephew. And happy belated birthday to my colleague in Trinidad, Paula Lindo. Happy, happy birthday. Now listen, also happy belated birthday to Mr. Peter W. Wickham, who has been a guest on the clock several times. He is from Barbados. Happy birthday to Anissa Abdullah. Anissa Abdullah is a young Bahamian professional. She, I think, is working with the UN right now. Happy, happy birthday. Happy birthday. Belated birthday to Mr. Omar Bradley Smith from the DNA and to Maylin Seymour Major, fellow QC Comet. Happy, happy birthday. Happy, happy, happy birthday to Native Breeze and Marcus from Native Breeze there on East Bay Street. The list is long. Happy belated birthday to Stephen Thompson, one of the greatest chefs in New Providence. Happy birthday to Humphrey Bain. Happy birthday to some of my regional colleagues. I was shocked to see all of these people have birthday one time. I don't know if the world could take it. Happy birthday to my friend and activist colleague and friend to many Bahamians from Jamaica, Carla Moore. Happy, happy birthday. Happy birthday to Steve Litsky all the way in South Africa. And happy birthday to Carolyn Gomes from Jamaica as well. And happy birthday to Obadiah Michael Smith, Renahamian poet. We're happy you're back on this side of the ocean to celebrate your birthdays with us, Mr. Obadiah Michael Smith. I hope I didn't miss anybody. And if I did, well, look here. What you gonna do is send me a shout out so I could send you a shout out. Absolutely. Absolutely. And tomorrow we're going to have a couple more birthdays. Seems some people in the Guardian family have birthday all over the place. So I had to get that out. A little positivity. A little positivity. And everybody deserves to be celebrated. I say every day, but if not, at least on their birthday. Some more positive news. There is a notice. I'm going to read it today, and I'm going to read it tomorrow. I think it's very important. The National Arts and Culture Commission invites all Bahamian entertainers to a meeting on Thursday, the 31st of March, 2022, at 3:30 p.m. at the Ministry of Youth, Sports, and Culture Youth Conference Room. Participation is also available. Like, the meeting is also accessible via Zoom, and I'm not sure if I have the information taken down correctly, but you can call the National Arts and Culture Commission or call the Ministry of Youth, Sports, and Culture to get the Zoom information for that meeting. Again, tomorrow at 3:30 p.m. at the Ministry of Youth, Sports, and Culture Youth Conference Room, all Bahamian entertainers are invited to a meeting. I want to say, Bahamian entertainers, all, let's all go. You Blow Balloon, my friend Magasso. Wait, that's your gaming name. Eddie the Balloon, get out there. Renee Cesar, you got to get out there. Shad Fur, you got to get out there. All my sport people, Vividly Val, you got to get out there. All the musicians, you got to get out there. All the joke tellers, storytellers, Princess Pratt, you got to get out there. Right? Don't let the industry tell you what is entertainment. Let the audience tell you what is entertainment. To all of my cosplay people, y'all go to this meeting. To my Jumanji people, y'all go to this meeting. To my gymnasts, my athletes, y'all go to this meeting and see whether what you do fits the parameters for the administration's scope or, you know, vision for entertainment in the future. Again, tomorrow at 3:30 p.m. at the Ministry of Youth, Sports, and Culture. I got another text here. Says, great show as usual. Good news. We have Junkanoo again, but the plan on taking the competitiveness out of it, Ms. Green, these people have completely lost their mind. Well, look here, just a quick note. Was it at that point that your concerns were raised, right? Like, was that when you were like, oh, what's happening here? I saw heard about the commentary on Eyewitness News last night. Critics concerned that the Junkanoo performance, and I will say held for the royal family, featured the song Rule Britannia, and there was grave critique, and I want to join in that critique just briefly. I am also concerned. Now, see, Rule Britannia, okay, I can't control everything on this planet, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay, I'm working on it. I'm not okay with it, but I'm working on it, right? Can't control everything. So they want to play Rule Britannia, that's fine. But it's really, for me, a part of it is the reasons given, right? Like, do y'all know what Junkanoo is about? Right? You know the history of Junkanoo. Like, Junkanoo is like a resistance to the enslaved experience. I think a lot of people, it's fair, and it's okay for a lot of people to be upset that you guys played Rule Britannia. But it's more than that, right? Because I'm all for savvy protest and demonstration. I'm all for, you know, critical artistic engagement to push the boundaries or the scope of public and collective discourse. I'm all for that. But it's sort of the reasoning behind it that has me a little troubled. And I think maybe we need to take Junkanoo out of the hands of government and those who are responsible for smiling at foreigners and put it into the hands of those who are only responsible for maintaining and preserving the culture, whose primary focus is to ensure that the authentic nature of the experience is preserved and maintained, right? Like, maybe that's what it is. Maybe when maybe it's because we put the task in, I don't know, I just think that if we had played Rule Britannia, it should have come with a 10-minute essay explaining what the vibe is. I just feel uncomfortable and slightly, you know, icky. I can say it's slightly icky. I don't think that. Anyway, isn't it nice that we have Junkanoo? And maybe if we invite the royal family back for Christmas, we'll have Junkanoo again. Like I said, that particular point is not where my concerns lied. It was like, this is what, who is Junkanoo for? Who is it for? It turns out it's not just for the tourists. It's also for the royal family. I haven't talked about traffic in a long time. I hadn't talked about traffic in a long time. Part of me was waiting to see if other people would pick up the issue. And then not this weekend, but the weekend before, there was a traffic fatality. I think a pedestrian was hit and killed. And, you know, and I realized that we're not really taking a lot of things, many things seriously in this town. We're not. But we have to, and traffic is one of those things. So when I look at the headlines today and I see police officers back in schools, right? Monroe announces move after last week's AF Adley stabbing. Police back in public schools, 13 officers placed in 9 schools. Monroe government serious about crime despite FNM critiques. Woman who was stabbed and run over says she's thankful to be alive, right? When I see these stories, I realize that we're not as serious about this crime thing as we would like to pretend and purport to be, like pretend that we are. Because jurisdictions in developed nations around the world have proven over and over again that a concern on traffic management and curbing bad or negative driving behaviors and cultures is an effective tool at reducing crime across the board. I mean, it's just easy peasy. It's just extremely simple. There are examples all over the world. And I can share with you all something that I encountered on the road this morning. I drove into what is, I think, could be called a roadblock. I'd like to be fair and call it a road check, because random roadblocks, I think, have been deemed unconstitutional in the Bahamas. So the police wouldn't be doing things that are unconstitutional, like right in our face. I'm going to call it a road check. So on our way west, we drove through this road check. I asked the officer, good morning, can you tell me the reason for this road check this morning? And he, you know, said nothing, because police find it difficult sometimes to talk to citizens. But that's okay. He was busy, you know, watching the road. There's one officer, I think one of our, the westbound lane. There were like 12 to 15 officers in the exit immediately to our left. On our way back, heading west, there was an officer in the westbound lane, in the eastbound lane, right as you hit the roundabout, checking road tags, checking tags on the car. And as we were driving through, an officer tootled up on his Segway to tell the first officer, oh, I wish I had written it down. Sometimes the universe has helped me out by not letting me write things down. But it was brilliant. I'm sure he told them, boy, come over here before you get knocked down in the road. Let me tell you something. There's nothing more I need to know about how seriously y'all take this job of traffic management, you know. I don't know what it was you were doing in the road this morning, but surely it had nothing to do with traffic management. I don't need you to tell me anything else. That little exchange, that's all I needed to hear. That's all I needed. What are y'all doing? And why is very little of it focusing on traffic management? You know, you could catch people moving things in their car if you stop their car on the public road. Did you know that? Again, let me reiterate this. Across the world, jurisdictions in developed nations use traffic management as their first line of defense, their first strategy to reduce crime and to manage crime. And yet here we are in the Bahamas being terrorized. Right, like you call it, the bold and the reckless, the beautiful and the reckless. Every day, people are on the highway speeding with their cell phones plastered to their faces. Every day, people pulling up on sidewalk and bouncing their car off the sidewalk where some pedestrians are supposed to walk. Every morning, people are encountering pedestrians running four abreast. In bougie neighborhoods, you know, like Village Road. Royal Bahamas Police Force. Please, it is your job to manage traffic, not our job. It is your job. And to the insurance industry, surely an insurance company is required to cover the cost of repair to public infrastructure damaged by your clients. I don't know who negotiated that deal, that lack of provision in law, but I'd like them to go sit on the Royal Caribbean Cruise Line negotiating panel. I'd like them, you know, maybe you could negotiate where the Oban file is or the missing pages of the registry, land registry for Grand Bahama and Mayaguana, because you're very good at what you do. Sir or madam. Okay, producer. I'm going to read this text. Let's go to a break. When we get back from the break, my guest today is Alicia Wallace from Equality Bahamas. Text says, Aaron, I agree with reducing the competitive aspect out of Junkanoo. We have to take the gang mentality out of Junkanoo. Wait, what? Pardon? Y'all, wait, what? Okay, but that's fine. I like that. But let's start where we should start. First, let's take the gang mentality out of politics and governance. Then let's take it out of the church and social governance. And then let's take it out of the schools, not just in the students, you know, but how we deliver education, right? There's plenty places we could take this gang. And then let's take it out of the parenting culture. Let's take it out of there as well. Thank you, producer, because you know I was about to run on and run out. I was about to remind you all about this Will Smith issue and the root of it. I don't know where all of this concern for violence has come from, where it sprung from, because I'm not reading us as a people that are truly concerned about the violence occurring around us. But we certainly concerned ourselves in the violence in the lives of people who we will never meet. Anyway, thank you, producer. Play that music. We're going to a break.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
We believe in relationship banking. We take pride in getting to know our clients. You have access to knowledgeable, approachable ambassadors and financial coaches so that we can recommend the best product for you. At Fidelity, we care about you. From your financial health to your physical health, we can relate to you because we're just like you. Come and start your relationship banking experience with us today. Visit us online at fidelitygroup.com visit any of our branches in Nassau or Grand Bahama, or phone 356-7764 in Nassau, or 352-6676 for Freeport.
One thing there is no debate about is that BTC has the best rates. Now, the best rates just got better because you pay half the price of the other guys with your BTC home internet and mobile services combined. Switching to BTC is a no-brainer because I pay less with BTC and get super fast internet with speeds up to 600 megs. The other guys, their internet only go up to 105 megs.
Get all the internet you want at half the price when you bundle your home internet and mobile. Visit a BTC store to make the switch today.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the best. Always, you're always covering me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Oh, get island, sweet get island. Oh, get island, Lord, I can't wait to come back home. I'm gonna walk on the beach when I get home. Go climb the highest peak when I get home. Gotta get some concrete when I get home. Yeah, yeah. I was born in Nassau.
Good morning and welcome back. Listen, that song just now is Sweet Cat Island by Anderson Williams. I had that on my playlist for last week. Didn't get a chance to play it. Somebody had actually texted me during the show to ask me to play it, not knowing that I had it. So I had to play it today because I got a whole different kind of vibe line up for tomorrow. All right, listen, I got to say this just quickly, responding to a texter. Thank you for engaging the conversation. Texter says, but we are talking about Junkanoo, correct? We have to focus on the topic at hand. Yeah, I get you. We can move on to another topic. But let me just say this. Of course, we focus on Junkanoo, but you know, culture is not exclusive, right? Like, it's not in a vacuum. This culture didn't start in Junkanoo either, for real, right? The negative part of the competitiveness that you rightly sort of identify, it didn't start there. And so to take it out of every place first. And then the next thing before we pass on is this. What will be for Bahamians? What is just ours? What is exclusively ours? It's like Junkanoo was the last thing. It was the last thing. We can't have the beaches. Right? We can't have the family island. You left us there starving in the family island, starving the islands out to dry, people to Nassau. Right? That's what you did. And now we can't even have that destitution. Now we got to fight with foreign interests coming in to develop the country. Can Junkanoo just be for us, please? First it was for the tourists. And then we said, okay, you know what? We need to make a little money. We get it. But for the crown? Have you missed the plot and the point? It's Junkanoo. And that's where the critique, the backlash, the concern, the rage, the anger, that's where it's coming from. Will anything be just for Bahamians? Or will it just, I know what you want it to be. But I rebuke the suggestion that poor people must die so mediocre people could live their best life. Thank you, Texter. Producer, my guest is in the Zoom room. Good morning, Miss Wallace. How are you? Good morning, Miss Alicia Wallace.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. I always have to remember there's a slight delay in the Zoom room. Welcome to our sort of wrap-up for International Women's activities during the month of March. 1995, March was designated Women's History Month in the United States of America, specifically. International Women's Day is March 8th, and the UN's Commission on the Status of Women also takes place in March. Today, Alicia, I'm going to ask you to sort of walk us briefly through events and activities hosted by Equality Bahamas, which all focused on eradicating violence against women and girls in its various forms, and then to tell us about a new campaign that you're working on called Strike Five. Good morning.
Good morning. You want me to just jump in there?
Yes, ma'am.
All righty. So this year, we focused primarily on building the gender machinery. So we recognize that there's a need for this gender machinery, which is supposed to be a central organizing unit at the highest level of government that is tasked with the advancement of women, focusing on achieving gender equality. And we don't have that in the Bahamas. There have been some moves toward it, but we're not quite there yet. So in the absence of that, do we throw our hands up? No. We look at what we have access to, what we can, what information we can find, and how we can use that to start to develop the tools and the resources, the additional tools and resources that we need to get to gender equality and to further advance the rights of women. So we're looking at policy, we're looking at law mechanisms that the Bahamas has already ratified, like CEDAW, like Belém do Pará, like the Beijing Platform for Action, and taking some time to present these mechanisms, present these tools, and talk about the draft bills that are being discussed in the public. And we've found that when we're talking about bills, when we're talking about draft policies, they're discussed as though they are done. They're finished, they're perfect, they're ready to be passed, and then people get excited because they hear the name of it. For example, the gender-based violence bill. Everyone's real excited. Let's pass this bill, but let's take some time to read it. Let's talk about it. Let's see what it covers, what it might be missing. Let's look, for example, at the definitions. Are there all of the relevant definitions in there? Are the definitions that are included actually correct? What is being covered by this bill? The same goes for the national gender policy. We looked at that a couple of weeks ago with human rights expert Gaynell Curry and found that, you know, there's a lot of good in the document, but it can use some strengthening in areas. For example, there are goals. There are 7 main goals in the document, and then there's a set of strategies, but there are no indicators. So how are we measuring our movement toward meeting these goals? A lot of the strategies are linked to recommendations that have been made by the CEDAW committee in a particular session, mm-hmm. but it doesn't specify which session. And actually, those should be linked to the convention itself, because the convention holds forever, whereas we get new recommendations every 4 years if the state is actually reporting. So we're looking at these tools, these documents, and making them accessible to community members. So anyone can drop into these online sessions, typically held on Zoom, often also streamed to our Facebook page at facebook.com/equality242, and creating a space for us to learn together mm-hmm. and to be in a space where we can actually make recommendations that we can compile and put forward to the government actors and the officials that are responsible for improving these documents.
Awesome. Okay. That was fantastic. I got like 18 questions though. So first of all, what I didn't mention, because I've mentioned it so many times this month, the international theme for International Women's Day was hashtag break the Bahamas' theme was hashtag building the gender machinery. And I imagine because, first of all, you need properly functioning gender machinery to be able to do the work of breaking the bias, right?
Yes.
And I imagine that we are slightly behind some developed nations and some developing nations in terms of building this gender machinery. So the first question I want to ask is, when you say machinery, like you indicated, you mean policies, laws and legislation, and international mechanisms like CEDAW and Belém do Pará. Now,
yes.
What I noted was that in Trinidad and Tobago, they have a local CEDAW committee, right? And is that also the type of machinery you're talking about? And I think that local CEDAW committee would be, first of all, voluntary, a non-official, like not officially a part of UN or CEDAW, but a group of advocates who've come together to work in unison, right, on gender issues and on issues before the CEDAW committee directly. And would that be a useful piece of machinery for us in the Bahamas?
So the CEDAW committee, quote-unquote CEDAW committee in Trinidad and Tobago is an NGO, and that's led by Terry Ince. And so she has done the complete CEDAW training with the Women's Human Rights Institute. Mm-hmm. And I've done the same training. The late Donna Nichols did that training. And, you know, Donna really led the work here on educating the public about CEDAW and recognizing it as the Women's Bill of Rights. So Terry and her team, they've taken it upon themselves to educate the public about CEDAW and to engage the government directly. And I've actually seen in recent months, they've been doing sessions on a regular basis, taking one article at a time and having an expert or a practitioner come in and just have a conversation on Instagram Live about that particular article. And it was really cool to see that, because that's something that Equality Bahamas will be starting next month. In fact, taking one article at a time, delving into them, and that will lead us up to next year, October, when we will have our 30th anniversary of the ratification of CEDAW.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm not sure if you would be privy to sort of this working space, but I imagine that the committee works well of preparing to attend a CEDAW session.
I would think so. I would think so, yes. And they're probably also organizing other NGOs to be able to participate in that process in various ways.
Wow, nice, nice. And so are there any other types of machinery that we didn't mention before that are worthy of note?
So we have the legislation and the policy are really the high level.
Okay,
but there is so much to be done on the social level. And I think it's a part that we often ignore and treat as though it is completely separate from the law. So we don't often recognize that connection between law and society, law and our behavior, in the way that in many cases we look to the law as a sort of measure of morality, of what is good, what is bad, what is right, and what is wrong. Mm-hmm. So we have to have conversations about that and about changing the norms within society, changing the biases, changing the gender stereotypes, addressing them, and not just talking about them, but using real life examples to debunk a lot of these myths and things that we have bought into that are continuing to cause us harm.
Absolutely. Maybe just a little later in the show, we could talk about some of those myths and just one or two of the things that we are perpetuating that are problematic. Some of the events that you held, you mentioned the National Gender Policy, an assessment of the draft policy with Gaynell Curry, but there was a large list of events that either Equality Bahamas hosted or shared and encouraged people locally to participate in, including the SDG 5 event and the marital rape discussion.
Yes, we started with the SDG 5 event, and that was facilitated by Alicia Roll, who is in the SDG unit, and Anissa Abdullah, who you mentioned, who's celebrating a birthday. So big happy birthday to Anissa, and was in the Tribune yesterday, a really great profile on her in that face-to-face column. Mm-hmm. So that was a really great session to learn more about the Sustainable Development Goals, and in particular, goal number 5, which is specific to gender equality. So people who attended that session got a better sense of what these goals are and why we keep talking about SDG 5 on gender equality as central to the achievement and critical for the achievement of all of the other goals. There are 17 goals in total, and it's consistently said that we won't meet any of those goals unless we meet goal 5 on gender equality.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I imagine that's why, like in our conversation yesterday, it's the only treaty or body that focuses of the human rights treaties that focus solely or exclusively on women. And I think that's with the understanding that this the need to create this legal, political, social structural equality and equitable, right? Equity between men and women is needed. So I mentioned marital rape, and I think we're going to continue talking about that. But can you mention briefly the gender inequality in national law presentation? Because I had to work and I missed that one.
Well, the good news is all of them are recorded, and that one was streamed live on Facebook. But all of the recordings are available on our YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube and type in the name of the event or search Equality Bahamas and you'll find them all. But that session on Saturday was great. We had Catherine Harrington, who is the manager of the Global Campaign for Equal Nationality Rights. And she's really been helping to bring people together from all over the world who are dealing with gender and equal nationality law so that we can strategize together, come up with some advocacy strategies and learn more about international mechanisms and learn from each other's experiences. And with that, we had Bina Ramanan from Family Frontiers, which is in Malaysia. Mm-hmm. They've had significant success over the past few months challenging the government and pushing for their laws to be changed on women's rights to pass on citizenship, in particular to their children. And they have been to court a number of times. The government keeps pushing back and appealing the ruling, but they're going to get the final ruling in June. So we're looking forward to that. But it was excellent to hear from Bina about the work that Family Frontiers has done. And they really engage with the mothers who have been impacted by this inequality in the law. And the mothers took it upon themselves to start, you know, social media channels where they're sharing their stories and they show the journey of trying to apply for citizenship when it's not automatically granted the way that it is for the children mm-hmm. of men. And seeing their TikToks and their Instagram posts, I think really gave a more personal view of the reality that they're dealing with. She also shared a story, and we heard from someone who joined the session who experienced, they're married to people who are not Malaysians, living outside of Malaysia mm-hmm. and in situations of domestic violence. And they can't leave. They can't go back to Malaysia because their children would not be allowed into the country. Mm-hmm. So these are the kinds of things that happen when there is gender inequality in nationality law. It affects the entire family. With the pandemic, Bina talked about families being separated, not being able to be together again because in the borders being allowed back in. All of these complications. And then we also heard from Amal de Chiquera from the Institute on Statelessness and Inclusion, who talked about the impact of statelessness on people, but really interestingly talked about the intangibility of citizenship and that so many people who are considered stateless still consider themselves to be nationals of a country or citizens of a country because they're identifying with some of those intangible factors.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's one we need to check out. Considering our grave concerns with migrant populations moving through and in the Bahamas. That's wonderful. I was hoping Marion Bethel could join us today so we could sort of continue the conversation. We had just gotten, we just started on marital rape, but unfortunately, she could not join us today. But let's not get into the marital rape panel, but maybe let's start talking about this new campaign that Equality Bahamas is about to called Strike Five. But while you prepare for that, I see I just got a call on the line. Producer, let's go to this call, and then we'll get back to that question. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Aaron Green.
Good morning.
I hope you're doing well.
Yes, sir.
Did I hear the lady talk about citizenship?
Yes. She was referencing a panel that Equality Bahamas hosted called Gender Inequality in Nationality Law.
Yeah, I've been hearing a lot of conflicting terms, gender equality, domestic violence, violence against women, mm-hmm. violence against children, and all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But let me just speak to the issue of citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
I do not see how, and I don't know how widespread this is.
Yes.
Because a lot of things I hear the lady talking about, these different agreements that the average Bahamian knows nothing about. I don't know where they came from, who is pushing it, and that sort of thing. but of the supreme law of the land. Anything relating to citizenship has to go through a referendum. And it would appear as if we have certain persons in this country who are asking the current administration to bypass the Constitution in favor of statute laws in relation to what it is they want. And I have a serious problem with that, because you cannot use statute law to supersede constitutional law. It appears as if there are persons outside of our country and inside of our country who are pushing the government of the Bahamas to take issues with what they want. The average person in Bainetown, Centerville, Engleston, and so on, they don't know what you're talking about. It seems as if we just have a select few of individuals on these issues and all these so-called international agreements. These were not discussed with anybody in the Bahamas, as far as I know. I mean, you could correct me if I'm wrong. Before they were even signed on to, I keep hearing about, we have signed on to this, we signed on to that. I'm a drain, I'm in the broadcasting business. I don't know about these things.
Well, listen.
I called the Attorney General's office.
Mm-hmm.
The Attorney General was talking about some issues about, Jenny said to the lady, what are these things he's talking about? I called the House of Assembly to get information. They don't even know what the hell he's talking about. Well, I say, well, where did he get them from?
So,
because I like to read and study the material so that I can analyze it word for word, sentence for sentence, paragraph after paragraph.
And have an informed contribution. Well,
pardon?
I say, and have an informed contribution. Well, let me say this. And if you don't mind, let me respond to your
point.
Yeah,
no, you go ahead and respond. I'm prepared to listen.
And I'll let Ms. Wallace respond as well.
Yeah, that would be fine.
I'll say this. No regular citizen is signing off on anything. Only, not even regular politicians. Only authorized members of the government can sign off on these treaties. And they can only sign off on them after a decision has been made by cabinet. Now, I agree with you. Neither you nor I, nor the man and the woman in Bainetown pumping water.
That's right.
Teething coconut out somebody's tree. Mind you, because some of the coconut's been sitting there for 10 years, right?
Yes.
Like, ain't none of us were invited to the meeting, nor were we asked to sign on. And in many instances, we weren't made aware of a decision-making process with the time to make an informed contribution.
That is correct.
Right? And so I want to say this. I understand why you're concerned. I'm going to say this. Let's make sure to separate the concern about the process with how these things are being done with the concern about what is being done. Now, it's important for you. It's important for us to interrogate how it's being done, because that impacts what you know,
yeah.
Right? And all of that. I agree with you. The citizenry don't have enough information. They are not sufficiently engaged, nor are they enabled to participate in the process in a way that allows them to have informed participation, to give informed consent. But yeah, we have had governments who have insisted, they have insisted for decades, that the political culture says that once you vote us in, you give us the rights to make all the decisions on your behalf. And so let us interrogate the political culture that creates this dynamic and separates the citizen from the work, right? And then we can get into the subject matter and determine how we feel about it. But I will impress upon, I will encourage you, or I will say, trust me, that we all agree with the work that's being done, because all of the work that's being done is premised in the idea or the belief or the knowledge that that every human has the right to a life free of violence.
Yeah, but Ms. Green, let me just say this. Who are these things being passed for? Who?
Well, listen, I don't know if this one is like Junkanoo, right? But one of the questions that we can ask, and then I got to get back to Ms. Wallace, is this.
Yes.
The AG, and I read the quote in yesterday, but the AG says that, look, we have international obligations that we have to meet.
Yeah, but that's... I'm happy that you mentioned that.
That's
I am
the point.
Trying to get
yeah.
what are these so-called international agreements? I can't get anything
okay.
in writing. What
so
the hell it is?
Leave the producer your number. I will message you and share with you the opportunities to participate in discussions hosted by groups like Equality Bahamas so that you do have an opportunity to learn about them. Because further to the point that I made earlier, not passing, you know, I'm not trying to be negative, it's not a diss track, but the government has not found, they have not been able to engage the public effectively, efficiently, sufficiently, so that even those who are interested can become informed. And
yes.
so we rely on civil society organizations like Equality Bahamas to provide those opportunities for you. And it's a shame you missed out on those that took place this March, but we can link you up.
Okay, well, I'll give my number to the producer because, see, I am trying to get accurate and precise information.
Yes, sir.
To disseminate to the average Bahamian.
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, we don't understand what's going on. I'm in the broadcasting business, but I don't know what's going on. I'm hearing all these strange things. He talks about 39 out of 40-something different things that they signed on with Europe. When I call the office, I can't get a damn thing what he's talking about.
I understand.
Nobody seems to know what he's talking about.
I understand.
I call the House of Assembly the same thing. What laws have been passed through the House of Assembly, onto the Senate, onto the Governor General? They say they don't know what they're talking about.
Yes, sir.
And that is very disturbing, Ms. Green. Very disturbing. But I'll leave my number.
Absolutely. And I think that the powers that be are listening, sir. They're listening and they're taking note. And they're beginning to understand that the work has been successful. More and more people are engaged. More and more people want to know. And that now they have to provide more and more opportunities for people to learn. Thank you so much. And Alicia, thank you for your patience. I really appreciated, you know, the passion and the desire to get connected.
These are conversations that we need to have. You know, why are these sessions that are taking place elsewhere, why aren't they being brought back home? Why isn't the reporting complete? Why aren't government officials coming back and saying, this is what we're considering, here's the document, we're going to be having sessions, we're going to have public consultation on this particular mechanism or education sessions, here's what we have signed over the past few decades. And these are the conversations that we need to have. Because it really does become an issue when we start to talk about expanding rights and protecting people who are in situations of vulnerability. And we reference these obligations, people sort of put their defenses up and want to know, what do you mean international mechanisms? What international sort of triggers people, foreign triggers people. And it's this idea that something is being imposed upon us. And it's not really being clearly understood that we voluntarily signed on to these things because it's the government's job within a democracy to protect and expand human rights.
Mm-hmm.
And it matters what we look like on the world stage. It matters what these conversations look like in these diplomatic spaces. But we can't take up too much space when we're talking about rights and specific issues to talk about those things. Those need to happen as well. But we can't really do it in a 30-minute segment when we're supposed to be talking about a particular issue.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I'm going to say, that's why I tell people about these events. And look here, they're online, so it ain't no refreshments unless you bring your own. But they are fun, right? It's not like a lecture. You're talking with people just like you who are there to learn, right? All of us need to learn more than we know. And we all come with that spirit. And it's a good time. So when you hear something announced, you know, take note of it. And if you want more information, reach page 4280719 on WhatsApp. And I will try and link you with what I know. So now let's get on to Strike 5 campaign.
Yes, we're excited to launch this campaign or relaunch it. We did start it off in 2020 at our March and Expo for International Women's Day in that year. But of course, within a few days, the COVID-19 pandemic started and we had to shift a bit of our attention. So we're now focusing on this issue again. The Strike Five campaign is about criminalizing marital rape and doing it in a very strong and explicit way. We know that there has been a draft amendment to the Sexual Offenses Act, and it's one that simply is not strong enough. It's not acceptable. One of the main reasons that it's not acceptable is that it refuses to acknowledge that rape is rape, regardless of the relationship between the perpetrator and the survivor or victim, as the case may be. So we have some elements that we are demanding be included in a new bill. So the first one is to change the definition of rape in Section 3 of the Sexual Offenses Act. Mm-hmm. So right now there's a definition at the end. It says who is not his spouse. Mm-hmm. So that means this applies to everyone except for a person who does this or experiences this at the hand of their spouse. Mm-hmm. That's a problem. And by simply striking those five words, hence Strike Five campaign, mm-hmm. we make it apply to everyone, regardless of relationship. Right there, marital rape is criminalized. And by doing that, we can repeal Section 15, which sort of creates a special category of crimes, spousal sexual assault, which is a ridiculous name to give to something that we know is rape. We can repeal that. And we're calling for a statutory definition of consent. So it's what consent is, and also what consent is not. The current bill also has a temporal limitation, which is a huge problem.
Now tell people what a temporal limitation is.
Yes, it limits the amount of time that a person has to report. So it says that you only have 1 year to report. This is a huge issue because in situations of violence within the home, domestic violence, intimate partner violence within a home, it is quite difficult to leave. It takes a lot of time to gather the resources and all of the emotional and mental capacity that you need to find somewhere else to live and to sustain yourself. And it doesn't necessarily, it's not a 2-week process. It's not a 1-month process. It really depends on support system. It depends on financial resources. And in addition, it typically takes a woman 7 times before she's able to leave and stay out of the relationship. And we know that when you leave, it is the most dangerous time for a woman. So this has to be approached very carefully. It takes time. 1 year is not enough. It is absurd to say that a woman only has 1 year to report rape or to expect a woman to be able to report rape while still living in the home and in many cases, financially, economically dependent on the rapist.
Wow, absolutely. Absolutely. So why do we need a non-immunity clause again?
So the non-immunity clause is to clearly state that there is no immunity on the basis of a relationship, in particular, a marital relationship. So we want to change that definition so that there isn't that exception. But then this clause would make it abundantly clear that, no, you cannot come and present as your defense, this person, this is my wife. And so I claim there is, what do people like to say? You know, there is consent in perpetuity because of this, marital contract. It states very clearly that is not an excuse. It's not a defense. You cannot use this for the purpose of immunity.
Alicia, I can catch them good. I can go find me a mango tree and go marry it. I can make sure the mango tree is over 21 years old. I can make sure I well past the age of consent. I can marry the mango tree and I can tell them I could take mango off my mango tree whenever I want. I don't care that it's in your yard. We have a special relationship that excludes you, the owner of the tree. Because now I am the owner of the tree because we married. I can try that on them. Now, Alicia, the campaign, you're not asking for the gender neutral nature of the law to be changed, right? Equality Bahamas is cool with that, right?
No, we're fine with the neutrality there.
All right, cool. I was hoping you was going to say a little bit more on that, but we are all out of time, so that is a good thing. I just want the opponents who think that this is all an attempt to destroy men and to destroy their lives to understand that the law that has been proposed is gender neutral and will provide protections or recourse for husbands that have been raped by their spouses, raped by their wives. So where can we, how can we contact Equality Bahamas before we go? And how can we participate in this campaign?
We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Equality242, facebook.com/Equality242, and you can email us equalitybahamas@gmail.com. Look out for the official launch of the Strike 5 campaign tomorrow. A lot of campaign collateral. We have a campaign guide so you can participate, and we encourage members of the public to write to your member of parliament, write to the attorney general, and write in particular to the minister and minister of state for the Ministry of Social Services and Urban Development, because they are responsible for pushing this forward.
Listen, thank you. Thank you very much, Alicia. Thank you very much to the texter about your coconut tree. I understand. We're not encouraging coconut theft. And for those of you who thought that my joke about marrying a mango tree was a little foolish, I can tell you what, I ain't married no man, because entering a relationship where you have no recourse for rape seems foolish to me. Anyway, have a great day, Bahamas. Join us tomorrow for Culture Thursday on the Clock with Erin Green. But more importantly, stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM all day today. Guardian Radio AM is up next. And remember, joining us at 4 is Naughty and Talking Heads. Have a great day, Bahamas.